Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit. It's a joy to be here with you all. Yeah. Today's sermon is on the gift of joy, and my passage today is one that is very familiar to those of us who have been Christians for some time. And this passage, if you know, in Luke chapter 2, is just after Jesus' birth. In fact, if you're here for the first time and not a Christian, you probably already know the story by looking at it on some TV show or somewhere along the street in Orchard Road that when it's Christmas season. So the setting in the passage just before our passage is in a house. And Jesus has just been born in a manger. It's nighttime, very different from the lights that are shining very brightly at me right now. But it's in a busy household. There's people around. It's Light comes from a fireplace, probably. They didn't have this kind of LED lights or high-powered wattage lights in those days. But our passage moves out of the house into somewhere a little bit more unfamiliar to all of us, because we are moving out of the house into the field. And this is the field at nighttime. And out in the field, there are shepherds that are watching over their flock by night. Light there is probably even less than in the house, maybe some starlight, maybe some moonlight, and it's mostly quiet compared to a busy, bustling household. Maybe once in a while you hear the occasional meh, as a sheep falls asleep, which hopefully will not happen today. But maybe you also hear the snoring of some of the shepherds. I'd like us to read the passage together. So we're going to read the passage together. I'm going to read the first two verses for you, and then I'd like you to join me to read the angelic announcement that happens in verse 10 and 11. Okay? So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And then the light goes up, and then they were very terrified. Quite understandably so. I don't know what you would do when you see an angel appear in front of you in the middle of the night. And the angel said to them, 1, 2, 3, everybody read together. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And again, I don't know about you, but if I were one of the shepherds, I'd probably be scared out of my socks. Right? And yeah, in those days, they did have socks. In the Greek term for the socks is called piloi. I know it sounds a bit like some form of rice, but there's also a Roman term. The Roman term is called udon. I know it sounds like some of noodles. Don't ask me why it's like that, but it is. They did wear some socks over their sandals, so maybe they would have been scared out of their socks. I would be. But there's something else that I will probably think to myself. I wouldn't dare to say it to the angel. I'd probably be thinking to myself, hey, this one, unyabo. Don't know real or not, this. Because it's a very, very big claim. The claim is that there will be good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And of course, in this passage, I'm sure you have heard other sermons on it. There's many other things that we could go into about the historical background, but today my focus is just on this word here, joy. J-O-Y. What's joy? What is joy? It's this very strange thing that we all know when we feel it, but we all don't know how to define it. Correct? So, I actually went around asking some young adults, when was the last time that you felt a deep and lasting joy? And then it was a bit like that. There was a silence in the middle of the night. And then eventually one of them said, wow, that question very deep, I don't know how to answer. And it's true, it is a very deep question. But my intent here is not to kill all our brains by trying to draw a distinction between joy and happiness and euphoria and pleasure and cheerfulness and whatever otherness that you have. Neither is it trying to make an argument whether joy is intrinsic or extrinsic, or whether it is received or something that you feel or something that is given. Otherwise, we will all end up after 40 minutes feeling very unjoyful. But my point is simply, many of us actually do know when we're experiencing joy. Right? Agree? I'm sure all of us at some point in our life have experienced some form of joy. Right? It could be the birth of a newborn. It could be a diagnosis saying, actually, you're fine, you're all good now and you can go home. It could be doing sports, maybe bouldering or running or badminton. It could be going to Hillian, and I know some people who really experience joy at this, basement, having two perfectly half-boiled eggs and a cup of coffee with the kaya toast, right? Or if you're a university student, maybe now you're feeling a lot of joy because, wow, hey, the semester just over and it's done and I can finally enjoy my holidays. Congratulations, you made it. Or joy can be as simple as looking at a picture. Oh, right, for some strange reason, this is one of the pictures that apparently a lot of people think this picture brings a lot of joy. Quite cute, right? Okay, so I also went to ask Google. Actually, I also went to ask Meta AI and Perplexity AI and Copilot. I asked Google, what are the joy of ... And these are some of the things that Google threw up to me. It's quite interesting. First of all, is the joy of a left hand. And this is a book, but the joy of a left hand. Have you ever thought of it? What if instead of having one right hand and one left hand, you had two right hands? Suddenly life becomes a little bit more difficult, right? So it's actually a lot of joy having a left hand. The joy of toys, right? If you are younger, maybe it's a Lego or something. If you're older, maybe it's some board games. I think we all know how to enjoy playing with toys. The joy of living, of course, life brings great joy to experience going on a holiday, seeing a new place, experiencing a new culture, eating a new kind of food. And then there's this one, the joy of science. This was another book. It was published by Princeton University Press. Okay, the joy of connections. I think we can all agree with this. Life, a lot of the joy in life occurs when we are with other people, friends, family, relatives, and indeed, I hope that this Christmas season will be one of much joy for you as you meet up with these people whom you may not have time to catch up with over the course of the year. But finally, on the ninth on the list is the joy of Christianity. And this was actually an article by the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Singapore, which was so well written that I have to quote a little piece for you. Right? Let me quote a little piece for you. In the article, this author wrote, "Joy is such a central aspect to our faith. Because unless we are filled with joy, we have no message of Christ to bring to the world." And he goes on to say, "The accounts of the martyrs throughout history are full of descriptions of them going to their deaths with great rejoicing and full of joy. Joy reorients us away from our self-focused lives and onto what is really important." And this author went on to give an illustration of Mother Teresa, who used the acronym JOY as an aid to remind herself of what is really most important in life. J-O-Y. First, Jesus. Second, others. And third, see? Well done. I love it. It's just a simple, easy way to remember it. But as we go through life, we know that not everyone has joy. And we just have to turn to the newspapers this week. It's been a really, really messy week. I'm not referring to the fact that Manchester United lost 3-2 to Nottingham Forest last night, okay? But it's been a really messy week off the pitch. First, Straits Times. The world is losing the fight against international gangs. Organized crime is on the rise. South Korea, those of us who like to go to South Korea for holiday, know that the president just declared martial law, rescinded that declaration 6 hours later, promptly almost got impeached, and now the party is saying that he needs to resign. This picture looks a lot like National Day Parade, but it's nothing close to National Day Parade, okay? This is in Georgia, where there are riots going on right now over whether they are to be accepted into the EU or not. The French government has just ousted its prime minister. The prime minister has only been prime minister for 3 months, and now it's not clear what the next steps for the government is going to be like. On the war front, if you look at Vision of Humanity research shows that there is 56. There are currently 56 conflicts, and this is the most number since World War II. And these conflicts have become more international, with 92 countries being involved in cross-border conflicts. That's half, almost half the countries in the world being involved in cross-border conflicts. Also this week, negotiators in South Korea failed to reach an agreement on how we are going to limit our use of plastics to basically alleviate the global plastics crisis, where now we find microplastics everywhere in the environment. Again, not good news for the climate and for the world. But on the personal front, that's where it hits home a little bit more. We know that life is not just a bed of roses, right? I'm very sure there are people among us here struggling with cancer, illness, some serious injury, maybe yourself, maybe your family. Workplace tensions, even as we lead up to Christmas. Or being retrenched, or not being able to secure a job as we go into the new year. Relationship struggles, breakups, bereavement. And if I were to just continue listing, we could go on for 40 minutes and I would not have time for the sermon. It's just the brokenness of the world that we live in. Many reasons, many people who are not going to be very joyful this Christmas. So when we read the passage like Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, with this announcement of great joy, which is for all the peoples at Jesus' birth, we have to ask the question, really? And the question almost draws us in, does it not? It draws us in to see what exactly is this good news of great joy. And that's what I hope to do today with my remaining time, to go behind the text, to see 3 points that God is joy, God announces joy, and that God offers joy. Not just this Christmas, but in your lives. Despite the way that the world is, we can have this joy that is being offered by God. So, let's jump in. God is joy. It's quite an interesting statement. Now, when I first thought about this, I was like, I've gone through Bible school, and you hear a lot about God is good, God is great, God is love, God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, God is almighty. And the whole year, as we went through the book of Leviticus, we have learned as a congregation that God is holy. But you seldom hear of this God is joy. So I went to do a bit of research. And guess what? I found that there is a very subtle thread, but very solid thread that runs throughout scriptures that suggests that God himself is joy. Here's an example, Psalm 16, verse 11. You made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. What the psalmist is basically saying is that the presence of God itself brings joy. There is something about God that is joyful. Right? And so much so that when you come to the middle of the Old Testament, you have Nehemiah, while building the walls of Jerusalem, saying, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Some of you know the verses. And then you come to the New Testament and you find 1 Peter writing here, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." So the consistent witness of Scripture shows that God's presence is full of joy. But it's not just the Christian scriptures. You have the Christian tradition. Some of us may have heard of the name Jonathan Edwards, that's the first guy on the left. And he was a Puritan preacher in the 18th century. And Jonathan Edwards wrote that joy is an intrinsic attribute of God, that God is infinitely happy and that his happiness is self-sufficient and eternal. God intrinsically is joy. You go all the way back to the 4th century to the famous church father, St. Augustine. And Augustine basically said that true joy stems only from the enjoyment of God. In other words, there's no way that we can experience from joy apart from the source of God, who is joy. And his counterpart, a monk, Evagrius, who also lived in the 4th century, even went one step further. Evagrius was talking about prayer. And he said that when you are in prayer, and no other joy can distract you, then you have truly found prayer. Because prayer is communion with God. So the Bible and the Christian tradition both affirm this foundational truth, that God is joy. And in his presence, as you have heard from Pastor Edmund and from Chu Guang, who led worship today, in his presence there is fullness of joy. Which also means that because God's joy is eternal, this joy that he can offer is not something that is passing or fleeting. It's not just something that we can feel happy for a day and the next day when Man U loses again, we stop feeling happy. Rather, as long as we are held close to God, we are in his presence and we can have joy. Why is this important? Let me move on to my second point. God announces joy. Where here I would like to try to tell you the whole grand sweep, the whole story of the Bible in 7 acts. And I don't have a lot of time to do this, right? So just hang on to your seats and try to follow along with me, right? The good news is we've already done the first one. Creator. God is joy. But he's not just the creator keeping the joy for himself. In Act 2, we find creation. And this is where in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, we find that as God creates the world, he speaks life into creation. And as he looks at what he has created, he repeatedly declares, it is good. There's a delight that emerges in creation. In fact, when he creates the humans at the end of the 6th day, he looks at it all and says, this is very good. God delighted in his creation. But it's not just God delighting, because when we read Job, in Job chapter 38, verse 7, God tells Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And when I did that, you know what happened? The morning stars sang together and the angels shouted songs of joy. There was a joyful coexistence. Man in joyful coexistence with God, man with himself, man with each other, man with the rest of creation. But sadly, things didn't remain that way. When we come to Act 3, we have a crisis. And that's because the first humans, despite dwelling in joyful coexistence with God, chose to rebel against God. They chose to go their own way, to decide their own path, to think that somehow I can make better decisions than God, live a better life without God. And in so doing, they lost that connection to the God who is joy. The impacts were far-reaching, as we have seen in our world today and in our lives today. The Bible shows us example after example as you go through the Old Testament of how this brokenness extends to everything. That doesn't mean there's no more joy suddenly. You know, there was still joy, but this joy now became quite interspersed in all sorts of trouble, all sorts of futility, all sorts of disaster and despair, and all these other words that we use to describe the not-so-nice state of our world today. That's why God is joy is foundational. Because apart from the source of joy, apart from God is joy, there can be no announcement of joy. There can be no joy, true lasting joy, that is experienced by a broken people living in a broken creation apart from God. Thankfully, God loves us and his creation too much to leave us in our misery. And so here you have another announcement, that is, that God will choose through the covenants That's the next act there, Act 4. Through the covenants to dwell with his people once again. And this year, as we went through Leviticus, we precisely saw that. That God will establish commands and statutes so that he can dwell in the midst of his people, Israel. And so that he can bless Israel. And so that Israel, in living in God's way, can enjoy that kind of joy of being in God's presence and can show this joy to the nations. There's a lot to say here, right? But we're talking about the major covenants with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. Eventually, God, through these people, raises the nation of Israel. And there's something about these commandments that also brings joy. So it's not just about the fact that God can now dwell among his people that brings joy. The commandments itself brings joy. Some of you here have gone through IDT, right? If you've gone through IDT, you have memorized Psalm 1, right? Psalm 1, verse 1, starts with the word blessed. Blessed in Hebrew is asherei, and asherei means to be happy, to have that joy. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, does not stand in the path of sinners, and does not sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight, his joy is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. If that were not clear enough, Psalm 19 verse 8 put it very clearly, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. In other words, through the covenants, God announces his joy as he graciously extends his presence to his people, mediated through these commandments and laws. But, as the Bible goes on, we find that Israel fails again. Somehow that cycle of sin and rebellion is just too difficult to break. And so, Israel turns away from God. Israel rebels against God. It comes to the sad point where God has to send them away into exile. And that's exactly where we find them when we come to Christ. Because when we come to Luke chapter 2, we find that, okay, some of the Israelites are back in the land, but there's no glory of God and the temple like they had previously. The Romans are in charge of the land, and they're wondering, wait, what in the world? And it is into this situation that you have this grand announcement of joy. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Three words here. Savior, Messiah, Lord. There are actually many other things that I can point out to you from the Greek text, but these three first. It's the only time in the New Testament where these three words ever appear in the same sentence. And of course, it also appears in the song that we just sang, joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns, let men their tongues employ. Right? Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Savior, because Jesus is himself the one who will take on the sins of the whole world. These sins that we incur, that we commit, incur to us a penalty that is death. Jesus comes as our Savior, as the Savior of the world, because he takes upon himself all that sin to pay for the penalty that was due to us. And it's only by this that we can be restored finally to the God of joy. Messiah. Messiah is a term that means anointed one. Basically, it refers to a king. And Jesus comes as the true king, not just of Israel, but also of all the world. He comes as the one who will lead his people to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God, to love God, and to love neighbor as themselves. He calls to himself a righteous people. And he alone is worthy of allegiance. Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Lord, because Jesus is no ordinary man. He comes as the God-man, fully human, fully divine, without sin, even though he is living amongst sinful people. And there is tremendous mystery here, because put it all together, and what it means is that the God who created the heavens and the earth, who called all of creation into being, would come to die for his creation. so that his creation might be restored to his joy. And having done all that he came to earth to do, Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended to heaven to be with God again, to take his rightful place as Savior, Messiah, and Lord. And this is how Hebrews chapter 12 puts it, that Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, he scorned the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And because of this, finally, there is a way to break that cycle of sin and rebellion. Finally, there is a way out of the crisis. And finally, we can fully and unreservedly enter into his presence, where there's once again fullness of joy. This is the gift of joy. The next act is called church, which I'm going to skip first, because I want to move on to Acts 7 first. Acts 7 is called the consummation, and the consummation has not happened yet. The consummation is basically this very big word that theologians use to refer to the time when Jesus, who ascended to be with God, Jesus will come back again. He doesn't leave us alone here in this world forever and ever. There will be a time, the Bible tells us, when Jesus will return to set everything right, to remove all of sin and evil, to restore all that is broken, and to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth fully. This kingdom, Romans 14 verse 17 tells us, it's not a kingdom that is all about eating and drinking, but it's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you read through the Bible and you come all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, you will find there that what began in the garden is now once more in a different kind of garden. It's almost a garden city, a garden that is blooming and flourishing. And there, God dwells fully amongst his people. There will be no more sin, no more death, no more futility, no more fighting. All these things that we read about in the headlines will be done away with. This is the gift of joy, which at the end of the biblical story is brought to its fullest. In the meantime, though, you are here. Acts 6. In the meantime, the church is here on mission to proclaim the offer of God and the gift of joy to all peoples so that more may be saved. And this is also my third point. God is joy. God announces joy. And finally, God offers joy. And this joy, like we have mentioned, is not a future joy only. It's a joy that can be experienced here and now, today. It's a good news that causes great joy for all the people today. It's available for each of us today. Jesus is still Savior, Messiah, and Lord today. This joy flows through the whole biblical story, from the time when the stars sang for joy, the angels sang for joy, through the crisis where God continues to announce joy through the covenants, where God continues to announce joy through Christ coming, and even now continues to announce joy through us as we wait for the fullness of joy to come. This joy helps us to press on despite the suffering and the sorrow that we continue to experience today. And we press on because this joy is now filled with hope. Hope that comes from a certainty of an eternal future where we will be with God once more. It is filled with peace because God now dwells in us to give us peace as we go through trials and tribulations in this world. It's a joy that is filled with love because the love of God is poured out to us and through us to everyone around us. Can you see how Jesus Christ holds all of this together? Hope, joy, peace, and love. There was a pastor in the 17th century. His name is Thomas Brooks. And Thomas Brooks puts it this way. God says, "My grace shall be yours to pardon you. My power shall be yours to protect you. My wisdom shall be yours to direct you. My goodness shall be yours to relieve you. My mercy shall be yours to supply you. And my glory shall be yours to crown you." This is the comprehensiveness of the promise of God. For God to be our God, it involves all. He gives all so that we may fully come to be restored to Him. The way into this joy, the Bible is very clear about this. It's one word, repent. Repent. To repent means to turn. To turn away from our sinful, self-serving, self-seeking, self-striving ways that result in brokenness, the brokenness that we see around the world. To turn from that, to turn to God, to turn to God, to accept this offer that the God of joy extends to us by believing in Jesus as our own Savior, Messiah, and Lord. You know why? Because God is joy. And separated from God, we will never find true joy. One of the most joyful people that I know of and I've had the privilege to meet is this guy. His name is Ajay. So Ajay is an Akha. He's an indigenous Akha from northern Thailand. And he serves in Thailand with his wife, Nancy, who is also there in the photo. I met him when I was 18 years old. I was in JC2. And I was on my first mission trip. Now, Ajay's an amazing man. He has a tremendous workload. For one, he started an orphanage for at-risk children. For two, he started a Bible school to equip indigenous Akha people to read the Bible. He preaches itinerantly in many Akha villages where it requires him to drive up for hours and hours into the mountains just to reach them. He interacts with politicians and leaders of the state, so that he can continue to do his work at the Akha Outreach Foundation. He's involved in translating the Bible into Akha. But amidst all this work, Ajay is profoundly joyful. I've never seen him hold a grudge. Whenever you meet him, he always has this nice smile, this smile of joy that is on his face. And he always has an encouraging word whenever he meets with somebody who is lost or in despair or just feeling down and out. Ajay has a question that he likes to ask. He would ask this question, "Are you happy?" He'll ask this to everybody that he meets, you know, from the youngest child in the orphanage to the oldest headsman in the village. And of course, he will ask it to wannabe short-term missionaries like myself, who go and visit them. "Are you happy?" And for some time, I thought this was just a bit of a joke, you know, like how Ang Mos like to ask you, "You know, how are you doing today?" "Doing okay? Yeah, happy? Yeah? Things are going okay? Well, yeah." But as Ajay continued to ask this, I began to realize there was a deeper meaning behind it, because the way it's phrased in Thai is "kun mi kwam suk," my cup, which translated to English literally means, "Do you have happiness or do you have joy?" From the first time I knew him, I knew he had a secret. But it was only over time that I gradually matured to realize that the secret is that he had found a happiness that was not common. It was precisely this joy of the Lord that was at work in Ajay, that gave him strength and helped him to minister to so many, this joy that he passed on to so many others. I'm going to tell you something that not many people know, but after today, many, many people will know. And that is, on the 23rd of December 2011, which was 2 days before Christmas, I was baptized in Chiang Rai, in northern Thailand, at the orphanage that Ajay started, along with other indigenous kids and orphans. And it was a tremendous privilege to be baptized by this man who really showed me what it was like to serve and love the Lord with such joy. But I share this with you, not to tell you about this amazing privilege of being baptized by Ajay. I share this with you to tell you that it was an even greater privilege to be baptized. Because for Christians, water baptism represents for us this commitment to turn away from our sinful ways and to decide to follow Jesus as best we can in the profoundly imperfect ways that we do, but as best we can to follow Jesus. And it represents for us that burial to sin and death, but also that rising to victory with Christ, that new life and that joy that God offers to us. And this is the same offer that God is extending to us today, to you, to me, to everyone in the world, the gift of joy. So as we come to an end for today's sermon, I'd like to invite you to just spend a moment with your eyes closed to recall what has been said. And more importantly, perhaps, to hear God's own voice speaking to you, making the offer of this gift joy. What is joy? Are you happy? Can it be that this joy is available for you? God is joy. God announces joy. And today, He's offering you that joy. I'd like to speak to two groups of you today. The first group, some of you, you may be here for the first time, you may have been here various times, but you don't really know this God. You don't really know this Jesus. But today you hear God speaking to you. You're looking at your life. And you want to tell God, God, I want that joy. That joy that's not just passing, that joy that is deep, that can overflow from within me. That joy that can help me persevere through difficult times. And if that is you, I'm going to count to three, and I'd like you to do something. I'd like you to raise your hand up high and just hold it high. If that's you, if you want to respond to God today, you've not known this God of joy before, but today you want this joy in your life. I invite you to raise your hand and hold it up high at the count of three. So with all eyes closed and all heads bowed, at the count of three. One, two, three. Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? Yes, God sees your hand right in the back. Also, a child in the front. The Lord sees your hand, yes. Keep your hand up high. Is there anyone else? Anyone else who would like to accept this offer, this gift of joy that is being offered today? The Lord is calling you. Come into my joy. Yes, one more in the back. Yes, the Lord sees your hand. Now, I'd like you to do something very simple. It's just a prayer that I'd like you to pray after me to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Messiah, and your Lord. Will you just repeat after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that my life is not what it should be. I see the sin, the brokenness in my life. I know that it's separating me from you. And I know that apart from you, I cannot find this joy. So today I repent of my sins. Lord Jesus, today I choose to follow you, to accept your gift of joy. Would you come into my life and fill me with this joy, that I may live this joy for you all the days of my life. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's the second group of you that I'd like to speak to. And for this second group of you, you are Christians, but you know that 2024 has just flown by in the blink of an eye. And nobody can answer this question for you, but you know that you have not really been walking with God this 2024. Just being carried along by whatever the world throws at you. You know that your life is lacking in this joy. There's no joy of the Lord in your life. And today, you want to make a commitment to God that before Christmas comes, before the year ends, Lord, I want to enter into your joy once more. Lord, I want to accept this gift of joy that you are offering today. I want to rededicate myself to you. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to do something very courageous. At the count of three, I will ask you to stand. Stand not because I'm asking you to stand. Stand because it is a commitment. It's a symbolic commitment that today, Lord, I want to enter into your joy and live this joy of my salvation once more. Right? At the count of three, I invite you to boldly stand in God's presence. One, two, three. That's you. Will you stand? Stand, stand. Enter the presence of God once more. Enter that fullness of joy that He offers to you. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word that has been spoken today. Indeed, we thank you for the announcement that has been made, that today in the city of David, there is born for us a Savior, and He is Jesus Christ. He is Lord. And Father, we know that we have not really been walking with you this year. Today, we say we want to come back. Today, we say we want to come and embrace the God of joy, to accept the gift of joy once more. Lord, would you come and restore unto us the joy of your salvation.
Amen.
That we may spread this joy to a needy and wanting world around us. Mm. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to invite us to stand together right now with this final song as we proclaim together now, joy has come to the world because of Jesus.
Prepare Him room and heaven nature.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.